Let's go to God in prayer. Father, please quiet my words and speak through me through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Those of you who know me know that I'm an informal guy. And I really enjoy our head pastor, our new pastor, Chris, because likewise, he's a pretty informal guy too. The one thing that I want you to feel free today is to interact with me. And the one thing I want you to do, if I forget to include this in my message, is why were four trays of brownies wheeled out of the sanctuary? So ask me that at the end if I fail to respond to that. So first of all, I want to ask you a question, and I will ask that you speak out loudly because these are old ears. The question is, what do you consider an attribute of a very positive relationship? Give me some attributes. Say it again. Respect, love, honesty, good. Anything else? Being open. Say it again. Frequent. Communication. Want to be together. What was that? Fun? Okay. Very good. Those were all great, but I'm going to go with Mark's communication. When you think about it, Jesus, when he met for the Sermon on the Mount and met with his disciples in particular to talk to them about how to pray, the reason they wanted to learn about this is because they wanted that intimate relationship that Jesus had with his Father in heaven. They didn't just want a casual network or just a casual relationship. Now, when the Sermon on the Mount was given, it was specifically given to the disciples, but there were many people that were gathered around. So we can assume that many people heard this too. Now, Jesus starts out in our reading today by telling us about how really not only the disciples, but all of the people had really a poor example. And it actually happened in the temple or outside on the streets. The Pharisees were blamed for this quite a bit. They would go out and pray loudly, drawing attention to themselves. They were very prideful people. And then, when they were praying, rather than asking for God's forgiveness, they instead would let God know how great they were and all of the things that they did. So that was a poor model, and Jesus told them not to pray like that. Now, I think our current world feels much like people did 2,000 years ago, in which we want a deep relationship with our Lord and Savior. And it kind of saddens me. I have talked to some young people, and even in Pastor Chris's table talk class this past Wednesday, I normally go to the evening class in which there's a meal. I have to admit, I miss the meal. But I purposely went to the early class because I knew those were some people that I probably didn't interact with as much as the people I have spent many, many evenings with for many years. And a couple of the people mentioned about how they're not really sure if they've ever heard from God. You know, that they really didn't have a relationship with him. They've never felt his presence. One of the people did tell us, though, that most recently she had an experience, and this was a pretty awesome one, in which she sensed God while being out on the beach on a walk, and we'll save that for another sermon. So Jesus offers us this succinct way of praying. He offers us up the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus modeled this for his disciples, saying, this is how to pray. Now, the Lord's Prayer, it's interesting because it's really divided into two parts. There's that extraordinary part that it begins with, the first half, which it's about God. And then there's more of an ordinary part where it deals with human beings. I'm going to go through each phrase quickly and give you a little explanation. The Lord's Prayer starts with "Our Father." Now, we're talking about our Heavenly Father, and I know I've talked with some of the young adults at Converge about the difference between our earthly fathers and mothers and our Heavenly Father. We are to honor our father and mother, our earthly father and mother. That's one of our commandments. And that's actually a commandment in a number of various religions. But we are to obey our Heavenly Father, and that's a little different. When you honor somebody, you give them respect. When you obey somebody, you put them above all others, including our heavenly, or I'm sorry, including our earthly parents. Okay? We need to look at the next part, who art in heaven. Okay? Our Father who art in heaven. We need to revere him. We need to worship him. He's in a place that we will be one day if we are followers of Jesus. Hallowed be thy name. Okay? Hallowed, meaning holy. This is a divine God that we are worshiping, and a sacred God. Your kingdom come. Okay? Your kingdom come. We need to look around us and see where God is already present and already doing things. And we need to join up with him to bring his kingdom to fruition. And give us this day our daily bread. Now, this is the part where we are talking about our human needs. Okay, give us our daily bread. God gives us everything that we have on a daily basis. Okay, nothing that we have is ours. I know in a class, an adult class that we were recently teaching, we were talking about how we are simply the caregivers of all that we have, and that we need to share that with other people. Forgive us our debts. I remember one time talking with a young adult who had said something to me that was quite hurtful, and afterwards he asked my forgiveness, and I told him, "How can I possibly not forgive you after Jesus Christ went to the cross to forgive me and to forgive my sins and all of our sins? Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Okay, God does not lead us into temptation. But when we do feel tempted, and we all do, including myself, what we need to do is ask him to deliver us, to get us away from this sin that we are going to commit. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Okay, God's kingdom is here. He shares his power with us through loaning us gifts and talents to be used to go out into the world and to help others. Okay, so what would it look like in our culture if we actually followed the Lord's Prayer? If we actually put our needs on the back burner and went on this journey with God to go out into the world? The one thing we need to do is we need to make a covenant with God. And I'd like for all of you to be thinking about that today. We need to set a time and a place every day, at least once a day, preferably multiple times a day, in which we will pray. We will let nothing else take its place. Myself, I get up fairly early in the morning and I go out running, and that's my prayer time. I make sure that nothing will take its place. Even if I get up later that day, I'll still go out and do that. So when we go to God in prayer, we need to ask Him, what are the needs? Show me the needs of the people around me, maybe people in my office, maybe people in my school, people in my neighborhood, people in this country, people on the other side of the equator. What are their needs? And then we should say to God, how can I team up with what you have already started? Let me journey there with you. We also need to build a relationship with those people that we are serving. And I think Pastor Dave, if you remember, he had a little booklet that he handed out to a number of people. And that was on Celtic evangelism. And with Celtic evangelism, what the missionaries would do is they would go out and they would pitch their tent, or they would live alongside people, get to know them, build up a relationship. And then we need to ask God to show us when the correct time to share our story and to share His story of what He's done for us. Luke 10:2 says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." Okay, so Jesus is telling us there's plenty of work out there to be done. You know, get it in gear and go out and do it, basically. So in closing, we need to ask God, who do you want us to come in contact with? Who has that need? Secondly, what gifts do we have? We need to reflect on our gifts and talents and how we can use those to serve people's needs. We need to ask God, how should we do this? God, give me a game plan. Help me figure this out. I know this past winter, I went to the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, because a number of our students were graduating, the international students, and they had gotten me a ticket to come. And the guest speaker was a tremendous guy. And he said, you know, nothing happens without a plan. If you want to accomplish things in your life, and of course, I'm thinking this through as a Christian, you need to plan it out with God. And then finally, we need to ask God, when do you want us to do this? More than likely, it'll be immediately. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm glad you asked, because that also reminds me that I need to go up and lead the affirmation of faith. There is a verse in Psalms, a psalmist wrote, that our prayers are like incense to God. And since we are not of the, we don't use incense in our worship services, I thought I'd bring in these warm brownies, and this place would just smell like brownies. I don't think it quite worked, but anyways, there will be brownies after service.